Old North Church in Boston has been there since 1723. In fact, for a very long while, it was the tallest building in the city, standing at nearly 200 feet. Sure, today it's little more than a small tree in the modern urban forest of Boston's skyline, but in its heyday, it was the pinnacle of Boston. Which explains why Paul Revere sent two men with lanterns into the steeple in April of 1775. They used that unmatched height of the church tower to look out for the approach of British forces, and then alerted the rebels to the nature of that approach. One, if by land, two, if by sea. It's a quote almost every American knows by heart, and it started in the Old North Church. Another historic event took place there in 1757, though, 18 years before the Redcoats were coming across the Charles. There's a plaque for it in the garden behind the church, but I'll be honest, it's a little hard to believe. Here, I'll let you decide for yourself. Here on September 13th, 1757, John Childs, who had given public notice of his intention to fly from the steeple of Dr. Cutler's church, performed it to the satisfaction of a great number of spectators. Mr. Childs came to Boston from London. He claimed to have flown many times there from a number of very tall buildings. Once, he even flew off a 200-foot-tall monument. Not only could he fly, he was saying, but he was good at it. Now, he was going to do it in Boston, and what better place for his flight to take place than from the top of the Old North Church? To draw a crowd, he posted a notice in the Boston Gazette. He named the date of his flight, September 13th of 1757, and promised, and I quote, "full satisfaction." If I had to guess, the fact that the plaque is still on the building 250 years later is a powerful testament to just how satisfied everyone was. But before you go jumping to conclusions, no pun intended, I swear, let me put a few doubts to rest. No, this wasn't a rumor that became a legend. This was a real event documented by real people. No, John Childs didn't possess some sort of primitive glider or Da Vinci-style human wings made of wood and sailcloth, however amazing it would have been. In fact, there was nothing aeronautical about his flight at all. It turns out, what John Childs did was import an urban pastime from London into America. The best way to see it would be to jump on Google and do a search for an engraving called Southwark Fair by William Hogarth. But let me see if I can paint you my own picture. Childs tied a rope to the top of the Old North Church, and then the other end to a building 700 feet away and farther down. Then he took a board with a slot carved down the center, placed it on the rope, and then laid himself upon it. Yes, Childs literally body surfed down a rope, his arms spread wide like a bird, until his descent was broken by a pile of feather beds at the bottom. And that's it. There's nothing spooky about John Childs' tale, I'm sad to say. No ghosts that fly over the old church late at night, or otherworldly feathers that might be found on the ground by tourists. There are no screaming crowds that echo to this day through the narrow streets around the church. It would be a lot more poetic if there were, but this is all we get. A man on a board, falling slowly into a pile of pillows. Here's what I want you to remember. It took the story of John Childs a little less than 170 years to make its way onto a memorial plaque in the church garden. Less than two centuries is a blink of the eye when you take in the whole scope of written history. And yet, over those 200 years, his story went from an acrobatic circus act to a legend about a flying man. History contains an untold number of legends, and many of them paint a picture for us that is impossible to ignore. But just because a story exists doesn't mean the details are entirely true. Sometimes you have to dig deep, look elsewhere, and pull the disparate pieces together. Otherwise, you run the risk of going on a flight of your own. A flight of fancy.